Hey everyone, welcome to This Lesbian Ship is Intense. I'm Katie.
And I'm V. This episode is brought to you by Candlewick Press, publisher of The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea, the new YA fantasy novel by Maggie Takuda Hall. Okay, so I really have to recommend this book, you guys. I have been struggling to get back to reading for so long, and this is the book that really did it for me. I devoured it in 2 days, and I think that it's because it hit on so many elements that are important to me in life and in fiction. So basically the story is, we have Lady Evelyn, who seems to be of Japanese descent. It's not explicitly stated. She's on board of a ship that's taking her to her betrothed, and she meets Florian. Unbeknownst to her, though, Florian is actually Flora and a pirate. Flora is a black woman. I would say, based on descriptions, maybe Caribbean, but again, they don't explicitly state these things because it's not the world as we know it. And romance ensues. But along with that, we're not just dealing with these two women who are falling in love with each other. We're dealing with mythical elements like mermaids, witches, and then it gets even deeper. So we start talking about trauma and the impact of colonialism and how to take control of your destiny in a complicated world where other forces try to dictate who you should be. Also worth noting, they also include non-binary characters and just really hits on everything that matters to me. I really recommend it. I hope you all read it. Okay, we can get back to the episode now. Let's talk about Betty.
So here we are to talk to you about episode 2 of Betty. The episode is called Zen and the Art of Skateboarding. Again, directed by the director of the whole series, Crystal Marcel. And it is written by Patricia Breen. So in this episode, we start off with a little bit more of an insight into Honey Bear. We see her in a conservative home. She's dressed very conservatively. She drops her skateboard out the window, and we get the impression that her backpack is actually where she contains everything that is how she truly is and lives. And we see that she lives with a single dad who works for the post office, and with her grandma. And I just really liked how we kind of got to know this dynamic. Like, we see that she kind of hides a lot of herself away from her family, but she also does try to show them bits of herself, like the fact that she's vegetarian, even though her family isn't. And you can tell that they really love her and she loves them in their own way, but that it is a complicated relationship.
Yeah, we also find out that her name is Elizabeth. That's what I believe Grandma calls her. And so Honey Bear is the name that she's given herself.
Yes. Which I really love that about her. Like, I love that she maybe does not feel full like herself at home. So she's kind of created this whole alternate persona with how she truly feels with Honey Bear. And she really keeps those two worlds completely separate from one another, which has to be kind of an exhausting way to live. But a lot of people feel like they have to do that.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, that sounds so fucking exhausting to have to do. And I understand that it's some people's realities. And I mean, it sucks. It doesn't take away from the fact that it sucks.
And then in a montage of skating around New York, we see this guy that's eating an ice cream cone. And we're just showing how people are living their lives in the summer in New York. We have Indigo and Kurt skating with each other. And in that process, they accidentally run into him and he drops his ice cream. And I just love this moment when Kurt is like, what is a grown man doing eating ice cream? And Indigo goes, everyone eats ice cream, Kurt. It's kind of calling out the medium. Yes, you do put random people in for these moments, but it is a depiction of reality. Like, this is a thing that people do.
Oh, I liked it because I feel as if though it's a very realistic thing for people to do, where they get angry at someone and they call them out for something. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You do that shit too. Like, what are you talking about? So I appreciated that call out.
Right. Like, just because it's a minor inconvenience in the moment doesn't mean that a person was doing a bad thing. Like, it's just something that happens. And they talk about going to the skate park, but Inigo really doesn't feel comfortable. She's nervous about having the skater dudes watch her. And then we end with the title card where they see a cute cat and they go to play with the cat. And then we see the Betty title card and the ice cream that was knocked on the ground.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say where Indigo says she doesn't want to be at the skate park with a bunch of thirsty guys, and Kurt's like, "Well, do you want to be there, skating with those thirsty guys, or do you want to be with that guy?" I don't remember if she calls him thirsty or not, but I remember thinking like, no matter where you go, ladies, there is always gonna be some thirsty ass man who is gonna make you uncomfortable, and that's just sad.
I was just talking to one of my friends about this, and she was talking about like she called this guy out that was an asshole to her in public. And then I had another friend that was like, I really want to get better about calling people out when they do shit like that. And my other friend was like, that is one of the things I'm actively trying to do because, you deserve to not just deal with things because they're the reality. And if you have an opportunity to change that environment for yourself, you should speak out, but only if you feel safe and comfortable to do so. And that's kind of the point that we're exploring here, I think. And then we have Honey Bear taking the ferry across to the city. So when she gets on the ferry, she's still in her like conservative buttoned-up clothes. But when she gets off the ferry and walks into New York, we see her as a completely transformed person. Who's wearing bright colors and is tying her hair up with a scarf and has an open shirt with checkered pasties at her nipples and bright checkered shorts. And I have some major style envy.
She looks really nice. Yeah. She pulls it off really well.
She pulls it off. I aspire to pull off those color combinations. Also, probably don't have the confidence to wear pasties out, but I madly respect Honey Bear for it. And then we have Janae and Donald having a shitty YouTube talk show where they're basically having a real conversation about New Yorkers and cultural appropriation and gentrification in New York. And Janae talks about how she ended up on a Brooklyn Graffiti Edge Experience tour where people were being fascinated by art that they wouldn't want to see in their own neighborhoods. And they talk about how the Caribbean spot on the corner was replaced with a new modern bistro, but it was called Authentic, so it was the place to go. And it's a really important conversation, especially in New York.
I specifically liked what Janae said about the graffiti, where she said, "Why do you hate graffiti in your neighborhood, but we'll pay to see it in mine?" And I was like, ain't that the truth? Yep. And it just made me think about cultural appropriation, where it's just like, I don't respect it until I consume it and make it a commodity. Like, I just, ugh, it was just so annoying.
Which is a big thing right now with everything that's going on with the Black Lives Matter movement, where people are like, you're obsessed with Black culture, you use it to influence your culture, but yet you don't stand for or stand up for Black lives in your life specifically, and just generally in this in your communities and in this country. And like, this is a part of that by like commodifying a culture and thinking it's worth something and not like connecting or the appreciating the people that provide that art. And in the video, Janae is looking at it and she notices that the comments are disabled. And Donald says that he blocked the comments because of trolls. And Janae's like, who cares about the trolls? Comments are engagement and it's important for digital shows. And Donald tries to say that it was comments about Danae's and he was just being protective of her. And Janae is like, I don't want you to protect me. Like, I don't care about it. And Donald really tries to downplay it as he's doing something for the good of Janae, which is really manipulative and gross. Like, if number one, if you're actually true friends, then, this is something that should be a joint conversation. But number two, especially if you want this to be like your business endeavor, that's not a good way to start out.
Yeah, I think that as we learn more, we see just how manipulative it is. But on assuming that he's telling the truth, it's just like, why doesn't she have any decision. If the comments are about her, doesn't she have a say? So it's just like annoying no matter what.
Yeah, he's trying to speak for her and over her in the name of doing something good for her. But sometimes what's more important is listening. And that's just the basic gist of this conversation. And we learn that the roots of that go deeper than just surface level. But it's really interesting to see how, you know, you might not realize what certain things are in your life right away. Like, Janae doesn't realize that Donald's being manipulative here. She's frustrated for a whole nother reason. And sometimes it can take a while to figure out when people maybe aren't the best for you in your life. And then we have Kurt and Indigo showing up to the skate park. And they see Camille skate by, and Kurt flips her off, and she's still really pissed at Camille. And it's like, we helped her all day, and then she blew us off for some dudes. And then we flash over to Camille, who's basically an outsider of the guys, just like trying to watch Bambi's video and trying to get their attention, but they're not really even paying attention to her.
Yeah, that's what really irritated me. It's just like, Camille, why are you bending over backwards to hang out with these guys who don't give a shit about you? Like, they won't even let you watch a fucking video. I think that Bambi says hi to Camille, and he goes, "Hi, Camille," in this, like, skeezy ass. I fucking hate the way he says hi to her. Like,
well, I think it's so, like, condescending the way that, like, Bambi is acknowledging Camille, because it feels like he's directly playing into the fact that he knows that she likes him and is, like,
for sure
playing into that flirtiness, but, like, knowing that he's using her, like, true fuckboy behavior right here on full mm-hmm. display. And then we see Honey Bear kind of cutely admiring Ash skateboarding and filming her in her camera, and we see Kurt watching her from behind. And then we just have a group bonding scene with the main four girls, where Kurt is just casually talking about this experience that she had with a girl, and Janae and Kurt just like fooling around with each other and teasing each other, and then Janae helping Indigo skate. And we see this really nice bonding moment between the four of them. But then we flash over to Camille, and we just see her sitting on the sideline filming Bambi all by herself. And I thought that was an interesting dichotomy to show.
Hmm. Yes, she's alone. I hadn't really thought about it. But yeah, it is interesting, which I do hope that, you know, as the show progresses, it leads to her finding fellowship and community within her female skater friends that will welcome her rather than the guys that are keeping her on the outskirts.
And then we see the girls roll into the skate park. And here is where the name of the show is explained. Bambi calls the girls Betties to Camille, which I'm assuming is a way to refer to female skaters. And that's kind of where that comes from.
Oh my gosh. Did you ever watch Clueless?
Long time ago.
So Betty is a term for just women. So it's just like those Betties, those women, those ladies. So I don't know that it has anything to do with skating, but that is how I learned about it, was through Clueless.
True. So I guess that's just a phrase. And maybe it's like amplified in the skate community for girls. But maybe not. Who knows? Because it kind of established Bambi as being a movie buff, I guess. So, maybe. But Bambi asks Camille if she knows them. And Camille says not really. So she's not really wanting to be connected to them at this point. And you see her, like, trying to connect with Bambi and ask, like, this deep question about his videos. And, it's just kind of weird, like, awkward flirting. And Bambi messes with Camille and says something that he knows is going to, like, make her be into him, and says, like, he's always been paying attention to her. But also kind of, like, downplays her abilities at the same time. I think that's a super weird form of flirting. Like,
yeah.
to put someone down and then be like, oh, just kidding. Like, I actually have always paid attention to you. It's pretty manipulative.
Yeah, I hated, I mean, clearly I hated him. I mean, constantly I was just like, am I supposed to like you? Because I don't trust you.
No, I really don't think you're supposed to like him. I think you're meant to see, like, how manipulative people can be with each other. And then, of course, Camille gets, like, very awkward based off of that interaction, which is also relatable, though. Like, queen of awkward, let's do it. And then we see some girl taking Indigo's picture, and she's casting for an international campaign, which we'll see come into play later. And the other girls are like, man, you've only been here one day and you're already getting scouted. And Janae is like, I'll be a model. And Kurt's like, okay, I'm in, but I don't wear dresses and I'm hard on that. Like, I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was really funny. Also, what's interesting is, so, like, when I first watched this, I thought that she got chosen because she was the femmiest looking of the women, but we realized later on that that was not it.
Yeah, I thought that's why at first, too. But it goes deeper than that. But Indigo's not really sure she wants to do it. She's like, I'm just vain, and I was okay with somebody taking my picture. And then we see, like, after that meetup with Bambi, Camille finally starts to get some appreciation from the dudes on her skating. But also, she rolled through dog poop, so she also gets made fun of for that. But Bambi tells Camille to go with him. Then we have Honey Bear. She rolls up to Janae and tells her that she liked the show with her and Donald. And Janae just, like, talks about how much she likes doing the show and all the different ideas she has for it. And you can tell how much the show means to her and how much she's put into it. Like, she has a connection to it. But Honey Bear asks her how close she is with Donald. And here we really get some insight into that relationship. Janae says Donald was her first boyfriend and he's been her friend for forever. So then Honey Bear asks how she deals with negative comments. And Janae basically just regurgitates Donald's explanation of what happened. But then Honey Bear says that she took a screenshot of the comments and shows it to Janae. And then we see Janae get very upset and runs off and asks Honey Bear to keep what she has to herself. And I just really liked this, like, moment of conversation where we really get an insight into Janae and Donald's friendship, number one, so we could see how things are going to be processed throughout the show. But I also loved, like, Honey Bear confronting her friend about something that was really uncomfortable and, like, having that conversation because it was something that she didn't feel good about or she didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, when I first watched it, I was just like, why is she show? Well, this is because I believe Donald. So I was like, why would she show Janae people talking shit about herself? But then later on, when we find out what it is, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense that she would share that with her. Yeah. And we get more background on her relationship with Donald and how long they've been in each other's lives and what he means to her.
And then we have Kurt yelling past Honey Bear at the skate park, who's next to Ash. And she's like yelling, hey, this is, what's your name again? Ash. Good news, she's gay. Like, just across the skate park.
So embarrassing.
No tact whatsoever. And Honey Bear is clearly embarrassed and skates away. Yes. I would be absolutely fucking mortified if someone did that.
I don't know how I would react, honestly. I probably would be the person who was yelling and be like, she's gay!
I was about to say, I feel like you would be the person yelling at me from across the room.
I would totally be the Kurt. I'd be like, why are you being weird?
It's fine. And I also like how it's like a thing where it's not even really awkward for Ash. Kurt's just like, it's okay. She's just shy. Like, I'm still going to play matchmaker here and bring you two together. Like,
yeah.
And then we have Indigo knocking a guy down. And he, like, goes off and snaps at Indigo. And Kurt Kerr, of course, jumps in right away to defend her and gets really angry and really escalates the situation into like a full-on screaming match in the skate park.
I have to say, though, that guy was already yelling, so I feel like Hurt just met him with where he's at.
I do agree. I think they're kind of showing, though, that Kerr escalates the situation when the other person might not want her to. Like, I don't think Indigo was really interested in getting into a screaming match.
Nah, she wasn't. She just wanted to walk away. I didn't realize it. I guess I relate to Kurt. Like, I just feel like people like don't stand up for themselves enough and they just accept bullshit. It's like, why the fuck should you? Like, that would be me too.
Yeah, see, I don't necessarily relate to that in Kurt, but I really appreciate that about Kurt, and like, I want to be more like that in a lot of ways. But I think they kind of establish throughout the show, like, there are times when you should speak out and call people out on their shit, but there are times where you need to, like, pay attention to what's going on around you and make sure that the people around you are put first sometimes. So I think that's a kind of an interesting running theme with Kurt. But I agree, in this situation, I feel like Kurt was justified in snapping on that guy because he was being hostile for no reason towards Indigo. And Kurt goes after Indigo, and she just kind of storms off because she doesn't want to be around these hostile dudes. And she wants skating to be zen and chill, like what Kurt said it was. And it's not when they're having to deal with that bullshit all the time. And then after Indigo storms off, like Kurt's like, "Why didn't you talk to that girl, Honey Bear?" And then Honey Bear just like kind of abruptly says like she doesn't like her. And Kurt's like, "It really seems like you're into her." And she says she doesn't like her again and also skates off. And then Kurt says, "I hate when this shit happens." So it seems like Kurt can kind of step over some boundaries sometimes and make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I guess I didn't think too much about what it means. I hate when this shit happens. I just figured she hates when everyone leaves.
Could be that too. Could be that simple.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, everyone's gone.
It's interesting that we're getting a little bit from Honey Bear. Like, she does in a lot of ways to be like seem like really comfortable with herself, but in other ways she does seem pretty shy and kind of uncomfortable.
She's very, I don't want to say reserved. She keeps everything very close to herself. I think that I mean, she seems to me to be a person who's too scared to share herself with everybody. I'm intrigued by what is there. And there's an episode later on that I find really interesting for her. And while I like her and care for her, she also aggravates me, but I understand that is part of my own, like, being fortunate in my own experiences that I don't relate to Honey Bear, so I struggle to understand her.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like, I guess in some ways I really relate to Honey Bear and Kurt in different ways, I guess. So that's why I enjoy both of them. And I think Honey Bear is really interesting because she's someone that is really confident in herself and who she is, but at the same time she has these different influences, whether they're familial or cultural or what have you, that she just can't shake overnight. Like, it takes some time, I think, to come to terms with both those worlds and both those sides of yourself. So I think that's a pretty interesting story. And then we have Janae storming after Donald. She like catches him playing basketball and is like, "We need to talk right now." And she calls him out for lying about the comment situation to her. And Donald's like, "I don't need this shit from you right now." And Janae just wants him to talk to her and tell her what's going on. And then Donald says that he doesn't want to talk to her because he doesn't want her to think it's true what the comments are saying. And he says that a girl is accusing him of taking advantage of her. But he didn't do anything. A girl caught feelings for him and he didn't return them. And so she's just using the Me Too thing. He's like, "It's not me. I'm not like that. This is just an excuse to ruin lives." And Janae's like, well, let's share the actual truth of what happened then. And Donald says that he doesn't want to do that because people don't want the truth. They want a witch hunt. And the Janae asks who the girl is because she wants to talk to her herself.
Yeah, this is just really aggravating because now we see that Donald is a liar. And so his manipulative behavior becomes obvious from before. And then even within this, it's just so aggravating where he's just like, she wants to destroy me. She's using this because she knows it'll work. And like, I mean, if I had an inkling of believing you, it was gone with those kinds of statements. This whole like, they don't want the truth. They just want a witch hunt. I was like, what was me, dude? Like, I just... Oh, I hated Donald at this point.
Yeah, I think we really start to see Donald's true colors, but clearly Donald and Janae are friends. And so I think her first inclination is to want to believe her friend. But then you also see her wanting to get the actual truth as well and figure out how to reconcile those two things as a person that does care about other women and does care about the Me Too movement. And I really, at first, I wasn't really into this, like, oh, let's cover up for a friend type of situation, like showing that people take advantage of the Me Too movement. Like, at first, that's kind of where I thought this was going as a story. And that Janae would just kind of be manipulated all along about by Donald. But that's not the case. This is a very nuanced story about that, with what happens when you know somebody who has done something that you're not okay with and how you like reconcile that. And I really like that journey was told through Janae's perspective, and it wasn't really even about Donald. Like, Janae has a lot of agency through this storyline, but they let her kind of take a few turns to get to the end of the journey, if you know what I mean.
Initially, it doesn't seem like it's that she wants the truth. Initially, it's that she wants to absolve Donald of being attacked or accused. And that was really irritating to me at first, but I do agree that they played that out really well.
In her mind, getting to the truth was clearing Donald's name. Like, that's initially where she started. But I like that in this process, truly what she did want was the truth, even if she didn't like it. And she had to figure out how to deal with that truth. And so it gets a lot better from here on out, I think, Janae's story. And then we have Bambi at his house, like working on this board, the skateboard. And Camille is like awkward and checking out his plants. And he gives her a new board. And so it really feels like he's like flirting with her and really trying to form a connection with her. And so she like tries to connect with him and asks how long he's been skateboarding. And he says that he got into skateboarding after his mom died. And that's why people call him Bambi. But he's really just joking around. But he did lose his mom when he was young. And then he says like some pretentious shit to her, like, have you read The Alchemist? And we really kind of get kind of the inner workings on how Bambi works. Like, he gives people just enough to like loop them in and make them feel connected to him. But he really also keeps them at an arm's length so he can kind of continue to manipulate them.
Yeah, I think that is a good description of he just gives you enough because Camille is trying to connect to him. And as they're watching a movie, she starts talking to him about something and she's very excited. Oh, you know what? He mentions like, oh, we should shoot some shots later on. And she's like talking about it and she's super excited. And then he cuts her off to say something about the movie. And it's like what he said wasn't what like genuine. He said it for what it would provide. And so what it does is it makes you feel good about yourself, which means you're going to continue to be interested in me. But I'm not really putting energy into it. It's just a crumb that I threw you for my own benefit.
But we're clearly going to live in my world. You're not going to join really this world with me. It's going to be me and what I want to happen. And it's like while they're watching this movie, it doesn't even seem like Camille is interested in the movie or she likes the movie. But the second he props his legs up on her lap, she like perks up and feels like, oh, we're connecting, we're bonding. So she's starting to lose what even matters to her by trying to seek the approval of this dude. We have Indigo Honey Bear showing up at the skate park at dark, and Kurt's there, and she really wanted them to come out because she doesn't want to make what happened earlier be what makes Indigo give up skateboarding, because skateboarding is supposed to be a thing that connects them and something that they feel like fun and happy about. So she gives them flashing lights and they sneak into the park, and you see them like actually achieve this zen moment, all like skating together, and you see them to be like at peace and happy with it. And I really liked the song that played. I think it had like that energy to it. And then we kind of end the episode with them laying down and like smoking a joint in the park. And Honey Bear says, "This is our winter bowl." And they all laugh because it's actually summer. And then they call it Summer's Eve Bowl because Summer's Eve is douche. And it's a funny reference, but Kurt doesn't get it. And then Honey Bear says that she has something to confess, that she actually does like Ash. And Kurt says that she knew it all along. But Honey Bear says, "Don't embarrass me again." And I just like really liked to show them bonding and like connecting with each other, but also setting boundaries for like what they are and are okay with. I think that's pretty healthy.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. A lot of people won't do shit like that.
They like pass out in the skate park that night, and the song "I Go to Sleep" by Z Tang plays. And the lyrics are, "When I look up from my pillow, I dream you are there with me, though you are far away. I know you will always be near to me." And we end on some nice camaraderie.
Yeah, I enjoyed them finding their moment together and creating their own space within their relationship and skating with each other.
And that is another episode for you guys. So thank you so much for listening to us. Please follow us on Twitter at This Lesbian Shit, on Instagram at This Lesbian Ship. Download our episodes on iTunes, rate, review us. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk
Yeah.
to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea by Maggie Takuta Hull and published by Candlewick Press is available now wherever books are sold.
This Lesbian Ship is Intense is a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.